Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, July 22nd, 2022. Coming up this hour.
The January 6th committee makes the case that Donald Trump fueled the violence at the Capitol.
President Biden said he's doing well after contracting COVID.
Snap shares plunge after a huge earnings disappointment.
And Twitter, American Express, and Verizon all report this morning.
A case of polio reported in New York, and Congressman Lee Zeldin attacked as he campaigns for governor. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees continue to struggle against the Astros, who had a doubleheader sweep in Houston.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 12 points, Dow futures down 13, NASDAQ futures down 69, and the 10-year Treasury up 18/32nds, yield 2.80%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.05%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with last night's primetime hearing of the House January 6th committee. The panel laid out evidence that former President Donald Trump ignored pleas from aides, members of Congress, and even his own family to call off the violence at the Capitol. Former Deputy White House Press Secretary Sarah Matthews testified that the president could have intervened at any time.
There's a camera that is on in there at all times. And so if the president had wanted to make a statement and address the American people, he could have been on camera almost instantly.
Former White House aide Sarah Matthews. Committee member Adam Kinzinger says the former president didn't just fail to act on January 6th. He chose not to act.
It was only once the vice president and the members of Congress were in secure locations and the officers defending the Capitol began to turn the tide that then President Trump engaged in the political theater of telling the mob to go home.
Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger. This was the committee's eighth public hearing, but it won't be the last. Vice Chair Liz Cheney says more evidence is coming in and more live hearings will be held in September.
And Nathan, we stay in Washington now in another major story centered on the White House. We're learning more about the condition of President Biden after word that he's tested positive for COVID. So far, the White House says the president is fine, and we get more from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
President Biden says symptoms are mild.
I'm doing well. Getting a lot of work done. Going to continue to get it done.
And White House spokeswoman Karen Jean-Pierre.
He told us this morning he had a runny nose. He had a dry cough. He was a little bit fatigued. He did say he had restless sleep.
He is on Paxlovid. Now, the White House COVID response team leader, Dr. Ashish Jha, took the occasion to remind people that Mr. Biden had been double vaxxed and double boosted, which is why his symptoms appear to be mild. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And we're seeing the White House shift the narrative on COVID from a health scare to something most vaccinated Americans can recover from. Chris Meekins is a healthcare policy analyst and managing director at Raymond James.
Someone who is approaching 80, as the president is, would normally be at a much higher risk had he not been boosted twice and now taking the treatment that the government successfully made investments in.
Chris Meekins at Raymond James spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. You can catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Nathan, Chinese media reports that President Xi Jinping has sent a message to President Biden wishing him a quick recovery from COVID. Meantime, the president joins a rising national wave of infections dominated by a fast-spreading new variant. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. This new variant, known as BA.5, easily evades immune defenses. And COVID infections have been on the rise in the U.S. More than 170,000 new cases were reported on July 19th. That's more than six times higher than the level reported in April. Los Angeles is seeing so many positive cases that it's likely to bring back indoor mask mandates next week. And San Francisco virus levels in wastewater have climbed higher than this past winter. But although the hospitalization rate has also been inching up since April, it's still well below previous peaks. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Let's turn to the markets now. Futures are moving lower this morning, led by the NASDAQ. This follows a disappointing earnings from Snap. That stock is down nearly 29% in early trading. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Blame a major slowdown in ad spending. The maker of the Snapchat app reported second quarter revenue of $1.11 billion. That is the weakest top-line number for Snap as a public company, and it missed estimates by $40 million. Now, in terms of the bottom line, Snap posted a net loss of $422 million. That was $89 million more than estimates. Now, given an uncertain outlook, Snap didn't issue guidance for the current quarter, except to say so far, revenue is about flat compared to last year. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Well, the Snap disappointment is taking its toll on other social media stocks. In fact, about $47 billion has been wiped out this morning. Facebook parent Meta Platforms is down 4.6%. Google owner Alphabet is falling by 2.5%.
And the earnings continue to roll in today, Karen. Dow members American Express and Verizon report this morning. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports Twitter opens its books before the markets open.
Twitter executives have not scheduled the customary post-earnings conference call with analysts and reporters. That will add importance to the company's news release. The social media platform will no doubt have something to say about its legal effort to force Elon Musk to honor his $44 billion agreement to buy Twitter. It will also want to drive home the point that the company remains engaged with its users and committed to growth. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Well, over the past week, we've seen firms from big tech to big banks pull back on hiring plans. But it looks like Bank of America is bucking that trend. CEO Brian Moynihan tells us he is keeping original hiring plans in place.
We don't have any plans to make any major adjustments because, frankly, we have those plans to adjust our headcount at all times. It's a constant planning process in our company is how do we use human capital, that great team we have, even more effectively and efficiently.
Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan also tells our David Westin that he does not think inflation has peaked yet. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 507 on Wall Street, 80 degrees in Central Park with the heat advisory in effect through the weekend. Big problems headed to JFK this morning. The eastbound Belt Parkway is closed in two locations. I'll tell you more in traffic. First, John Tucker with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, New York health officials have reported a polio case for the first time in the U.S. in nearly a decade. A story this morning from Bloomberg's Charlie Bellet.
Officials haven't offered details on who the Rockland County resident is, whether the person was vaccinated, or their current condition. State officials say it appears the person had a vaccine-derived strain of the virus, perhaps from someone who got live vaccine available in other countries but not the U.S., and spread it. Polio was once one of the nation's most feared diseases, with annual outbreaks causing thousands of cases of paralysis, many of them in children. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Republican hoping to unseat New York's governor this fall was rushed and grabbed while on stage last night by an armed man. Congressman Lee Zeldin was in the middle of a campaign speech in Fairport. State Assembly member Marjorie Burns was there. She says the man grabbed Zeldin and they both went down.
He was armed with metal knuckles, and the metal knuckles had attached to it knives that were shaped like cat's ears.
Zeldin wasn't seriously hurt and later continued his onstage speech. A third-party auditor will review the New York State government's response to COVID-19, including efforts by the administration of former Governor Andrew Cuomo to downplay the number of deaths of nursing home residents. Critics have said the current governor, Kathy Hochul, waited too long to launch the probe. Two teens fooling around in the water pretending to be sharks. Got a painful dose of the real thing on Long Island. 16-year-old Max Haynes was bitten on the foot Wednesday evening on Fire Island.
I just started paddling in. I was like, James, you better follow me if you want to get out of here alive.
He's one of reported six people bitten by sharks in the area over the past 3 weeks. He's expected to be okay. Now, the U.N. Secretary General due to oversee the signing of a deal that would allow Ukraine to resume its grain shipments to the Black Sea and Russia to export grain and fertilizers. The agreement, expected to be signed today, would end a standoff that has threatened world food security. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and a Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
That the only way the Yankees will see the Houston Astros again this season is if they both make it to the American League Championship Series. The two teams far and away the two best in the AL. And while the Yanks still have the better record, it's now by only 2.5 games. And the Astros dominated the regular season series. They went 5-2. That included a no-hitter in the Bronx. So the two Yankee wins, their only leads were when they walked the games off. Doubleheader in Houston. The opener was the close one. Yanks trailed 2-1 with two outs of the ninth inning. They sent up IKF as a pinch hitter.
The 0-1 from Neris. Grounded to the left side. Backhanded underneath Pena. Into left field. Hicks coming home. He will score. Kiner Falefa comes through to tie this game at 2.
FAN the call, but the Astros scored with two outs in the bottom of the ninth to win 3-2. Then they took the nightcap 7-5. Only that close because of an Aaron Judge 3-run homer in the ninth is 34th. The Yankees team batting average in the 7 games versus the Astros, 151. Mets host the Padres tonight. Max Scherzer opposing Yu Darvish. In Port St. Lucie, Jacob DeGrom through 5 innings, 60 pitches. A simulated game, but still no word on when he'll make his Mets season debut. There's a report that Scott Boras, the agent of Juan Soto, has told teams that the team Soto wants to be traded to, the Mets. Whether Washington agrees would be willing to trade him to a division foe could be another matter. As training camp gets set to begin, the Arizona Cardinals have a deal with star quarterback Kyler Murray. 5 years, $230 million. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures down 9 points. Dow futures up 3. NASDAQ futures are down 64 points. 10-year Treasury is up 18, 30 seconds. The yield 2.80% yield on the 2-year right now, 3.04%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. The heat advisory in effect till 8 p.m. Sunday. Low 90s today, mid-90s tomorrow. Could hit 100 by Sunday. We finally get a break on Tuesday. Right now, 80 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And European stocks swinging to gains from losses, joining a global equity rebound as investors look to second quarter earnings season to gauge how companies are weathering the impact of surging prices. Bonds in the dollar rising. S&P futures are lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures are little changed. And NASDAQ futures down 56. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 19/32nds, yield 2.80%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.04%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $96.39 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.50 at $17.35.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.0157 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1959. And the yen is at 137.42. And Bitcoin this morning is higher, up 1.4% at $23,448. And today we get earnings from companies including American Express and Twitter. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
And Kara, the House January 6th committee laid out a nearly minute-by-minute case last night that former President Trump allowed the violence at the Capitol to unfold, despite pleas from his closest inner circle to call it off and concede the election. Here's committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney.
Donald Trump made a purposeful choice to violate his oath of office, to ignore the ongoing violence against law enforcement, to threaten our constitutional order. There is no way to excuse that behavior. It was indefensible.
Vice Chair Cheney says there will be more public hearings in September with more evidence and witnesses still coming forward. Sports baseball back following the All-Star game. The Yankees get swept by the Astros in a doubleheader. The A's split a twin bill with the Tigers. The Giants fall to the Dodgers 9-6. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John. Thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And let's get more now on what we heard last night from the January 6th committee at its second primetime hearing, eighth overall. Joe Matthew is with us this morning, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, I think maybe one of the key takeaway lines, perhaps, from one of the committee members was that former President Trump not only failed to act, he chose not to act.
Yeah, that was Adam Kinzinger, one of the two Republicans, along with Liz Cheney, who we just heard on the panel. And he helped to walk us through what he described as the TikTok in that 187 minutes in which then President Donald Trump basically watched television. As we understand, there was a gap in exactly the recording of exactly what happened in that 3+ hours. And the president, for the most part, was in the dining room just off the Oval Office, watching television. The White House photographer was not allowed in the room, and he made a series of telephone calls to individuals, including Rudy Giuliani, but none to law enforcement to help quell the riot that was happening on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, interesting that you point out that the president didn't want potentially photographers in the room with him. And, of course, there was a lot of evidence that call logs were pretty much empty during that time. It almost sounds as though the January 6th committee is alluding to the possibility of a cover-up of what the president was doing that day.
Well, whether you want to use that word or not, you're going in the right direction here, Nathan. And we know, of course, that there are great concerns about what happened to the communications among the Secret Service who were working that day. There's one text message left from that entire experience. They're blaming this on a reboot of the phone system. But, of course, there could be a lot more involved. And this is, as Benny Thompson said last night, the chair of this committee, the dam is breaking. They're hearing from so many new witnesses and seeing so much evidence at this point now with regard to what you're describing that I suspect we'll see more hearings as we get into September.
Yeah, as Liz Cheney said, that we would see more hearings in September. What further evidence could we get as this summer rolls on here? Of course, we've got the contempt of Congress hearing continuing with former Trump advisor Steve Bannon as well.
That's true. And there's the matter of witness tampering. I actually thought we might hear more about this last night, recalling the previous hearing in which Liz Cheney made clear that Donald Trump tried to call one of the witnesses that the committee was in touch with. They forwarded that to the Department of Justice with real concerns that this could, in fact, be a greater case involving witness tampering along with sedition and some of the other charges that we've heard about. But this is going to be up to Merrick Garland now. The Department of Justice, of course, is conducting its own investigation. And we don't know, Nathan, when we'll get a final report from the committee. This idea of having further hearings with more evidence does kind of throw the timeline up in the air here. If Republicans win the majority in the House, as many expect in November, they could simply liquidate, if you will, dissolve this committee and then turn around and investigate the investigators.
And that raises the question, of course, of whether this final report, if it does come out, comes closer to the November election and a midterm. Is there some thinking in the committee, Joe, that there's a possibility that they want this January 6th conversation to be part of the conversation that voters have with themselves as they head to the polls?
I'm sure the committee members would, yes. But there's also been concern among Democrats that this could be just reek of politics if it gets too close to November. And they wanted this to be wrapped up a little bit earlier so they could then take that final report and talk about it, as opposed to this being an open case when the polls are open. If you can think about it that way. But look, we're going to get an interim report. We have heard that much. That will likely come soon. But then the can is still open here. We don't know exactly where the committee is going to be going or the DOJ as we head into November.
Joe Matthew, our Washington correspondent, with us this morning after the primetime January 6th hearing. We're going to check back in with Joe later here on Bloomberg Daybreak for more on the committee's proceedings, as well, of course, President Biden now facing COVID, isolating in the White House, continuing to work, but the White House sort of using his case perhaps as a symbol of how to tackle the pandemic with vaccinations and prophylactics now part of the mix. Joe, thanks as always. S&P futures right now down 8 points, Dow futures up 8 points. NASDAQ futures are lower by 62 points right now. The 10-year Treasury surging this morning, up 20, 30 seconds. The yield now 2.80%, and the yield on the two-year right now, 3.03%. NYMEX crude little changed right now, up 6 cents, $96.41 a barrel. Bitcoin, just shy of $23,500. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, heat advisory till 8 Sunday night. We're going to be in the low 90s today, mid 90s tomorrow. Could hit 100 by Sunday. Right now, 80 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The January 6th committee laid out a nearly minute-by-minute case last night that former President Donald Trump ignored the pleas of his inner circle and allowed the violence to unfold at the Capitol last year. Here's committee Democrat Elaine Luria.
President Trump did not then and does not now have the character or courage to say to the American people what his own people know to be true. He is responsible for the attack on the Capitol on January 6th.
Democrat Elaine Luria speaking at last night's hearing, which won't be the last. Committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney says there will be more in September as evidence and witnesses continue to roll in.
Well, another major story we're following this morning, Nathan, out of Washington, involves President Biden testing positive for COVID. So far, the president says symptoms are mild.
I've been double vaccinated, double boosted. Symptoms are mild. And I really appreciate your inquiry and your concern.
And President Biden is a bit fatigued and has other mild symptoms, according to White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Chinese President Xi Jinping has sent a message to President Biden, caring, wishing him a quick recovery. That's according to Chinese media. The president joins a rising national COVID wave dominated by a new variant. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. This new variant, known as BA.5, easily evades immune defenses. In the U.S., more than 170,000 new cases were reported on July 19th. That's more than six times higher than the level reported back in April. Meantime, Los Angeles considers bringing back indoor mask mandates. San Francisco virus levels in wastewater have climbed higher than this past winter. But although the hospitalization rate has also been inching up since April, it's still well below previous peaks. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, turning to the markets now, NASDAQ futures are lower following disappointing earnings from Snap. That stock is down almost 29% this morning. Other social media stocks are taking a hit as well. Facebook parent Meta Platforms is down 4.5%, and Google owner Alphabet is down 2.7%.
And the earnings continue to roll in today, Karen. Dow members American Express and Verizon are scheduled to report this morning, and Twitter opens its books before the market open.
And futures again lower. S&P futures down 12 points. Dow futures down 19. NASDAQ futures down 67. And the 10-year Treasury up 18/32nds, yield 2.80%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 80 degrees in Central Park. Two closures on the eastbound Belt Parkway. John Tucker has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. John.
And Congressman Lee Zeldin, the Republican candidate for governor of New York, was attacked at a campaign event outside Rochester by a man with a pointed weapon who dragged him to the ground before being subdued. Zeldin was not injured. He continued with his campaign speech and also thanked those who ran to his aid.
Simply grabbing his wrist until all of these great men and women who got here very quickly, so they were able to subdue him before he was able to do
do anything with that that weapon he had on his knuckles.
Well, the event in Monroe County was the first stop in a planned weekend bus tour across upstate New York to informally kick off his general election campaign. Chaos at New York airports prompting senators to call for an investigation into the business practices of airlines. That story this morning from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
New York's Kirsten Gillibrand, along with two other senators, sent a letter to the Transportation Department and the Federal Trade Commission urging the agencies to investigate whether airlines are knowingly engaging in unfair or deceptive business practices by offering flights that they know are logistically impossible to execute. U.S. air carriers have struggled to manage demand, with 3.2% of flights canceled and 20% delayed during the first 5 months of the year. Gillibrand says more flights were canceled in June of this year than in any other previous June. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Radio.
An unvaccinated young adult from New York recently contracted polio. It's the first U.S. case in nearly a decade. Officials say the patient who lives in Rockland County had developed paralysis. The person is no longer deemed to be contagious. And the U.S.'s second largest port complex struggling to process cargo, even with expanded gate hours. The Port of New York and New Jersey has seen terminals expand operations into the evening on weekends. Despite the push, less than 4% of cargo is being moved on Saturdays each week. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Houston Astros continue to be a Yankee nemesis. Three postseason series wins, and even as the Yanks are enjoying this terrific regular season, they really struggled against the Astros in seven games. They batted just 151, and the Yankees never led at any point of the seven games except for the couple of games they won when their first leads came with the walk-off. They never led in the doubleheader in Houston. The Astros won 3-2 with a run in the bottom of the ninth just after the Yanks had tied the game with two outs at the top. And then Houston teed off on Domingo Herman, who made his season debut back from a shoulder injury. He gave up five runs. The Astros won 7-5. Jordan Alvarez and Alex Bregman both homered, combined for five RBIs. Aaron Judge had a three-run homer in the ninth, but the game ended with Matt Carpenter hitting into a double play. Here's Aaron Boone.
Sucks anytime you lose. When you lose a couple in a day, I think we did that earlier in the year with the White Sox maybe. So tough day for us. Gave ourselves a chance there in the end with tying run at the plate. The big boys coming. So we got to get over it.
Boone's team only 2.5 games ahead of the Astros for best record. Yanks play tonight in Baltimore. And while the Orioles are still in last place, they've won 11 of their last 13. To get to 500. Mets host the Padres. Max Scherzer will start Jacob deGrom in what may have been his last time on the mound before actually pitching for the Mets through 60 pitches in a simulated game. New contracts for Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray. He'll make $46 million a year. And for Kirby Smart, just coached Georgia to the national championship. He's now signed through 2031. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Wendy Gillette.
The overall rental market in the U.S. may be slowing, but don't tell that to anyone trying to get a place in Jersey City, New Jersey. It ranks second on the list of markets with the biggest annual rent increases, according to Rent.com. A one-bedroom apartment averages over $4,400, an increase of more than 50% compared to last year. Number one on the list is Austin, Texas, where the rent has gone up more than 100% to over $3,200 a month. Rising inflation is causing demand to increase at food pantries. News 12 New Jersey reports pantries are becoming a main source of food for some families rather than just supplemental aid. Some are coming multiple times in a month to get supplies. Pantries are asking for donations to keep up with the increased demand. And time is running out in Connecticut for families to apply for the state's child tax rebate. The deadline is in a week and a half. Families get up to $750. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Wendy Gillette.
All right, Wendy, thank you. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about how higher costs are weighing on toymaker Mattel.
Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Gap is expanding its Yeezy partnership with Kanye West to bring in new customers.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that some global utilities are starting to offer rewards for consumers who conserve energy.
I'm Lisa Mateo, and on WBZ in Boston, I'll be reporting on why it could be BYOC. Bring your own cup on your next flight.
I'm Wendy Gillette on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting on the increased demand at food pantries.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. Global food prices were already lofty before grain-producing Russia invaded wheat-exporting Ukraine. To make matters worse, fertilizer prices have more than tripled in recent years, due in no small part to Russia's dominance of the market. Farmers from Brazil to Burundi are paying a steep price. Many have been forced to cut back on nutrients. Others are leaving fields fallow. The world's top priority should be to ease the supply crunch and avoid significant damage to the next harvest. That means pushing for states such as China to remove barriers on fertilizer exports. Existing support programs such as the Africa Fertilizer Financing Mechanism should also be expanded. Ukraine has demonstrated that the global food supply is more precarious than many had thought. It's a warning sign that the world can't ignore. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 28, NASDAQ futures are lower by 69 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 20/32, the yield 2.80%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. The heat advisory remains in effect till 8 o'clock Sunday night. Low 90s today, mid-90s tomorrow. Could see 100 by Sunday. Right now, 80 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. In European stocks swinging to gains from losses, joining a global equity rebound as investors look to second quarter earnings season to gauge how companies are weathering the impact of surging prices, bonds and the dollar rising. NASDAQ futures are lower this morning, weighed down by Snap's poor results. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 12 points, Dow futures down 20, and NASDAQ futures are down 67. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 19/32, yield 2.80%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.03%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 78 cents at $95.59 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $9.10 at $17.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0155 against the dollar, British pound 1.1953, and the yen 137.34. And Bitcoin this morning up 1.5% at $23,470. Well, shares of Snap were down more than 28% this morning after the company reported disappointing sales hurt by a major slowdown in ad spending and rising competition for dwindling marketing dollars. Shares of Meta Platforms and Alphabet are also falling. Meta down 4.4%. Alphabet's down 2.9%. Today we get earnings from Twitter as well as an American Express. And private sector activity in the euro area unexpectedly shrank for the first time since the pandemic lockdowns of early 2021. Survey of purchasing managers by S&P Global dropped to a 17-month low in July. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, the House January 6th committee laying out nearly minute-by-minute case last night that former President Trump allowed the violence at the Capitol unfold despite pleas from his closest inner circle to call it off and concede the election. Here's committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney.
Donald Trump made a purposeful choice to violate his oath of office, to ignore the ongoing violence against law enforcement to threaten our constitutional order. There is no way to excuse that behavior. It was indefensible.
Vice Chair Liz Cheney says there will be more public hearings in September, with more evidence and witnesses still coming forward. White House officials expressing confidence that President Biden, who's 79 years old, will avoid the worst of the disease, COVID-19, after testing positive, thanks to vaccines and a therapeutic drug largely unavailable before he took office. And in Bloomberg Sports, baseball is back following the All-Star game. The Yankees get swept by the Astros in a doubleheader. The A's split a twin bill with the Tigers. The Giants fall to the Dodgers 9-6. Global News 24 hours a day on air on Bloomberg Quick Take. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's 5:50 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's turn back to January 6th after last night's primetime hearing. Alex Holder filmed the last TV interview that former President Donald Trump gave in the White House. His documentary in the buildup to the storming of the Capitol gave exclusive access to the president's inner circle, so much so that the January 6th committee has subpoenaed 100 hours of Holder's raw footage. Alex Holder tells Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans and Tom McKenzie about his experience of the president in the dying days of his administration.
Trump actually came to believe the lie that he had started back in 2016, which was that, you know, if there was a chance he wouldn't win, delegitimizing the vote was a technique that he was playing with. And I think back in 2016, he knew it was, you know, a lie. He would probably argue that it was more a joke. But the idea of making people think that the election and the results didn't matter, didn't count, was something that he'd been playing with for years earlier. When it came to sort of reality that he clearly lost the 2020 election, he then started to really push this point. And when I interviewed him a month after the election, so it was the last interview that Trump ever gave in the White House. It was on the sort of 4th or 5th of December in the White House. And he's still a president of the United States. And this is after his attorney general, after, you know, everybody really around him, except some of the loonies, were saying that there's absolutely no evidence to support his positions. And they'd lost all of their court cases, including cases by Republican judges that he had, in fact, appointed, had all dismissed all of these lawsuits about the election. And it was quite clear that President Biden, by the time President-elect Biden had won. And so he still maintained this position where he was not only just saying how Biden didn't get 80 million votes, he was coming up with remedies, essentially, to his situation, i.e. what needs to happen to ensure he, in fact, wins. And he starts going on about Georgia and how the election officials there were cowards and stupid. These were Republican officials, to not open up the ballots to check signatures, and he was coming up with all sorts of conspiratorial ideas and then starts denigrating the judicial system. And I think, you know, Trump has this ability to passionately, and he does. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind that he absolutely believed in what he was saying, which is obviously in no way a defense. And in fact, it's actually terrifying that there's no way of being able to rationalize with him. And Bill Barr said in his testimony that Trump was a man that was detached from reality. This is the president of the United States with all the power and the apparatus that surrounds the president of the United States, which I saw. I mean, the guy with the nuclear football was standing outside the room when I was interviewing the president of the United States, telling me what needs to happen is we need to find, quote, brave judges. I mean, this is America. This is not, you know, a sort of a country where it's not governed by like the rule of law and democracy, right? I mean, George Washington's painting is looking down at Trump whilst I'm interviewing him, and he's coming out with these anti-democratic ideas. So it's absolutely remarkable and horrifying. But he, when you tell 75 million people that it's coming from the incumbent president and the guy they voted for, that their vote didn't count, What does anyone expect is going to happen next? I mean, it's going to be an absolute fiasco and incredibly dangerous.
And that was documentary filmmaker Alex Holder speaking with Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans and Tom McKenzie. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
two standard-setting organizations released draft criteria defining reduced levels of hazardous chemicals that would be allowed in electronics. The organizations are ready to receive comments. The House Education and Labor Committee will consider legislation to compel the Federal Worker Safety Agency to complete a heat stress regulation to help protect workers. A Swedish music label is suing Meta Platforms, charging that hundreds of copyrighted tracks appear on Facebook and Instagram.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And now another legal story we're watching this morning. The Supreme Court's shadow docket seems to be gaining ground on the regular docket, with the court issuing more emergency orders than opinions in cases that were fully briefed and argued. For more, June Grosso spoke with University of Texas law professor Stephen Vladek.
Part of it is that the court is doing more and more significant stuff on the shadow docket. I think more of it is that, you know, folks are paying attention to it to a greater degree than ever before. And, you know, the court, for all of the headlines and drama surrounding the most recent term, is actually deciding fewer cases on the merits docket than at any point since the Civil War. So, you know, when you have a flurry of significant rulings coming down through these unsigned, often unexplained orders, you know, I think it's no surprise that folks are paying a lot more attention to that part of the Supreme Court's work.
Since August of 2021, the justices have issued 66 emergency orders compared to 60 merits opinions. So does something seem off there, or are these really emergencies? 29 were related to COVID rules, 15 to executions.
Well, I mean, I think it's worth stressing that the denominator there is not necessarily telling us how often the court's intervening. I mean, so far this term, by my count, I think the court has granted 16 emergency applications. That's on rough pace for where we've been the last couple of years, which is 20 to 24 per term. But even that's up dramatically over, you know, prior years. June, I think part of what's going on is, you know, there have been obviously a whole bunch of external causes for increased emergency litigation. You know, part of it is that because the court is actually granting more of these applications, because more and more of these efforts are succeeding, you know, lawyers are acting as lawyers act. Lawyers are going to try to bring emergency applications in contexts in which they previously would not have. And so I think we're just generally seeing an increasingly active shadow docket begetting an increasingly active shadow docket, where the more the justices seem willing to, you know, intervene early in cases to disrupt the status quo through these unsigned and usually unexplained orders, the more the parties are going to ask them to. I think that's why we're seeing, you know, the shadow docket really start to compete with the merits docket in overall volume.
And that's Stephen Vladek, a law professor at the University of Texas, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures this morning, moving lower. S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 4, and NASDAQ futures down 64, weighed down by Snap this morning. 10-year Treasury up 17/32, yield 2.81%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.03%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 49 cents at $95.86 a barrel. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.